Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many, many things you've given us this day. So many more blessings than we deserve, that's for sure. And now the blessed opportunity to get back into your word. Help us now as we continue studying about the word faith that is found in the Gospels. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z, the word faith, currently in the Gospel of Mark. If you will, pick it up in verse 1. Where it reads, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now this, of course, is speaking of John the Baptist, as it continues. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And this displays and shows the faith that John has in Jesus Christ. And he did the task that was given to him to do. As it continues, the reason there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And he goes on about doing that exactly like he was told by the Holy Ghost to do, because he was indwelt with the Holy Ghost even while he was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, the first that we see recorded that happening to, the first that was recorded that was indwelt with the Holy Ghost continuously. Old Testament, you would see the Holy Ghost coming upon people for a purpose, for a season, for a time, for a task, giving them what they needed, giving them understanding, giving them wisdom, giving them incitement, giving them strength, whatever it may be, through all the histories of the Old Testament. And here in the beginning of the New Testament, we see John the Baptist, who was indwelt with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost stayed with him continuously, giving him the wisdom and understanding in helping him build and develop his faith. And we also need to know and understand if we have a lacking of faith, that we can pray and the Lord can extend our faith, can build our faith. When we apply our faith properly, it can grow and grow. Continuing on here in verse 9, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, this has been said that this display was for the benefit of John the Baptist. His mission was to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, and here was the endorsement that Jesus Christ truly is the Messiah. And hearing that voice and so forth, that was specifically for the benefit of John the Baptist. A little bit of reassurance there that he had put his faith in truth. And as it continues, we see the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ here. In verse 12, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. This is driving Jesus Christ into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Note, John was put in prison, allowed to be imprisoned, and then Jesus Christ is able to rise up and begin his ministry. Could they have done it at the same time? Sure. But these things were unfolding here, and the focus was being able to be put primarily upon Jesus Christ because John was in prison. It's interesting how many ways that we can see all through the history of how the Lord can take something that the devil tries to do to stir things up or try to stop things and utilize them to even do a greater good. The Lord can take an evil intent and turn it around and make there be a good benefit from it. But as we continue here, we see in verse 15, where he's speaking here about the preaching of Jesus Christ, it reads, "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Here we got to always point out, when you see the kingdom, what is he speaking of? Kingdom of God here is talking about the beginning of the New Testament church, the believers, the kingdom, the family of God. That is beginning, that is now being developed, being built. And he says to believe the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is the good news. The good news is that the kingdom is here. The kingdom has arrived. The opportunity to become a born-again Christian has arrived. Because now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. This shows the faith, immediate faith in Jesus Christ, that they dropped what they were doing. It was their career. It was their responsibility. It was part of their family business. But yet they dropped what they were doing and began to follow Jesus Christ. Verse 19, "And when he had gone a little farther, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." So another incident there. The others just dropped everything and started following the Lord. "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught, beginning the teaching and preaching and presenting of the good news of the arrival of the kingdom of God, displaying the faith of the early disciples and the faith of John the Baptist." All right, now go right on over to Mark chapter 2. And here we see some of the miracles that the Lord began to do in the healing of the sick. And in Mark chapter 2, pick it right up, verse 1. "Again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." Of course, speaking of Jesus Christ. "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now we have spoke already on this, representing here about how faith connected to healings. You have examples of the Lord saying that by your faith you're healed, and then you see examples of by the faith of someone else, someone is healed. Here is one of those where he's saying by the faith of those all that were involved in this, lowering that man that was sick of the palsy down, that this man was healed. And I love the way there's different ways that the Lord healed folks to let us know that there is not just one way to be healed, that there are many ways that the Lord can heal us, based on our faith, based on the faith of someone else, or based completely upon grace. Because He's healed those that were sick, that could not speak, could not testify to their faith. He healed and rose the dead. And they sure couldn't broadcast or testify of their faith. So, don't let anyone tell you that your healing is only based upon the amount of faith that you have, because the Lord is gracious. He can heal us even when we don't have sense enough to ask for it, and that is so great. As we see here, this man sick of the palsy reads, when Jesus saw their faith, there, not just the man that was sick of the palsy, but their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And you think, well, why is he talking about the sins here? Because that's part of the healing process. Spiritual healing, not just physical healing. Because when we become born-again Christians, He forgives us our sins, and that heals us spiritually. So Jesus started out here with a spiritual healing to this sick of the palsy. As he continues, you see, the witnesses were questioning this. What's going on here? But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whither is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said that at that time amongst all those people, so that he could display to them that he has the authority to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before all them, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Displaying to them, letting them know, showing them right there, that he has the ability to forgive our sins, to heal us spiritually, which is the most important healing that we need, and to forgive us physically. By His grace. All right, now if you will, turn over to Mark chapter 4. We see an interesting parable here about the seeds and the sower. And we can learn different degrees of faith and how they are displayed. In Mark chapter 4, pick it up right here in verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's interesting the way that he taught in parables, teaching them by using things that were right around them, that they were familiar with. And using that was able to get through to them. They could understand, relate to the things that there were around them. Yes, many of them had their ears plugged and their eyes closed and couldn't understand, but later, as they believed, they could look back at these, just like these accounts that we can look back at, having faith and understanding given to us by the Holy Ghost, we can see the message that is within all these accounts. As it continues here, we see how this unfolds. Verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. See, when you display faith in him to begin with, then he opens your eyes, unplugs your ears, and gives you an understanding and revelation of what he says. Those out there that have not trusted him are still blind and deaf. They cannot understand him. But once you have the faith in Jesus Christ, then you can understand. You can see, you can hear. Read it again. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Them that are without, that is outside of the kingdom, outside of the family of God, outside of the believers. That see and they may see and not perceive, and hear and they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And this is an intentional thing in some folks. They intentionally cover their eyes and plug their ears because they do not want to become part of the family. They like dwelling in their sins instead. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Like, if you cannot understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of them? None of us will be able to understand any of them until we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we display that faith in him and in what he says, and then he gives us the revelation and understanding of what he has said and says. And he begins to explain it to them. Because, see, they were of little faith. They were just beginners. They were babes. So he has to walk them through it, just as we all are when we first trust in the Lord. We cannot comprehend the Bible. We cannot comprehend the many, many wondrous things that can be found in this. He reveals it to us as we grow, as we mature, as our faith grows, then he opens up more and more understanding. And we need to always realize the opportunity to increase our faith by studying his word, by praying, by asking for a stronger faith, and truly trusting in him. So he begins to explain this parable. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, that's because they didn't hang on to it. Satan's always going to try to come and snatch it away from everybody. But they didn't have faith in it to hold on to it and let the devil take it. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, and immediately they are offended. These are the ones that had just enough faith to say, yes, that's very interesting, that's really nice, I'd like to have that. And then just a little bit of resistance, a little bit of persecution, a little bit of hard times, like, whoa, it ain't worth it, give it up. Turn away from it. Didn't really receive it. Didn't really have the faith. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. These are those that a little bit more involved. may have even gotten to the point where they came in and joined the church, but truly were not fully committed. And they backslid all the way to the point of right back into the world. Whether they were truly born again or not, that's up to the Lord to determine. But we can see examples of this in people. People that have come in just for a short season and look like they're really going to do something for the Lord, and then they just fizzle out when some little thing happens. Even see this in Christians that have been a Christian for quite some time. Some event takes place in their life, some hardship, some challenge, and suddenly they turn against the Lord, and they turn against Christianity, and they go back into the world. And also you have those that are distracted by the cares of this world, such as more interested in other things than serving the Lord. They lift something up more important than serving the Lord, whether it be an activity or whether it be own selfishness or greed, and they pull away and become unfruitful. So this could be those that weren't truly born again, and this could also be those that were born again and become backsliders and become unfruitful. In verse 20, "And these are they which are sown of good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Those are the true believers with strong faith that stick with it and continue and become fruitful. Those are what we all need to strive to be. Those on the good ground, and keep it going and be fruitful, because the Holy Ghost can produce that fruit in us that can be displayed to the world around us and can benefit the kingdom. All right, now turn on over to Mark chapter 4 in verse 35. "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man? Jesus Christ, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who created everything for himself. Because all things were created by him and for him, as it says over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So by Jesus Christ, everything is in existence. He has authority over everything, over the storms, over everything that he spoke into existence, because he is the word that spoke everything into existence, and we got to recognize that and know that. When he has that power and that authority, when we trust in him, when we have faith in him, then we can hang on to and trust in him no matter what's going on, because he has ultimate control over everything, whether it is a storm or whether it's a challenge from an enemy or whether it's a challenge from a disease, even like this pestilence that everybody's dealing with. Trust in the Lord completely and fully. Have your faith in him, because he is in control of everything. Because as it says in John chapter 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ, the true authority, the true Lord, which means ultimate authority, has that power, has that ability to control everything in His creation. And when we truly believe in Him and have the faith in Him and in His authority and know that He loves and cares for us and adopts us into His family, then we can be fearless and our faith can continue to grow no matter what's going on around, whether we become sick, whether a challenge is out there, whether there's an obstacle out there, whether there's a disease or an enemy, whatever it may be. If we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, if we trust in Him, if our keep that faith in Him, His abilities, then we can be fearless. We can continue and do the things He wants us to do, right up to the point when He decides to take us on out of here and be with Him, all without fear, filled with the faith in Jesus Christ. So let us all do that. Put our complete and total trust and faith in Jesus Christ, the one who is the Creator, the one who is in control of everything. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You oh so much for being in control. Help all of us that have trusted You to grow in faith, to grow in our trust in You and in Your abilities. When we see the things that are going on around the world, we see the wars and rumors of wars and the pestilences and so many of the things that are going on today with all the corruption in the government and all the people turning against each other, the love waxing cold and so forth, Your Word tells us about. When we see all that being fulfilled right in front of us, let us not be fearful. Let's all be strong in faith and trust in You. And encourage us to share that with others as well, so they can be on the same pathway of trust and faith in You and be looking forward to, oh, so much You have promised us. We thank You, oh, so much for that. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.